Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is taken from Psalm 24, beginning at verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Amen.
Thank you, George. Let us again pray together. Lord, before we open your word this morning, we come to you honestly, and we confess that we live most days as though we own what is ours, when really none of it was ever ours to begin with. It's all yours, and so are we. So Lord, as we turn now to Psalm 24, would you open our eyes to see whose everything really is, and open our hands to hold it onto it a bit more loosely. In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So let me ask you something this morning, a wee bit related obviously to what we've done with Stuart. What if somebody came to your house first thing tomorrow morning and they said this to you, right, get out, because this house is not yours. How would you feel about that? You what? You wouldn't be happy. That's an understatement. You'd be raging. And what if they said to you, this house actually never was yours. It's actually mine, the person standing there. Yeah, it's always been mine. And they told you to get out. Wonder what you would do then. You might laugh at them if you're feeling a wee bit generous. You might tell them where to go. I'm sure a lot of us would probably do that. And if they kept at it, you might have to actually phone the police. Because we know how ownership works, don't we? If it's our name on the rent agreement, or our name on the mortgage agreement, or the deeds to the house, whatever it is, then that means it belongs to us. Well, this morning, as we're starting this new series here at Craig Hill, for the next 4 weeks on stewardship, calling it Considering Giving in All Its Forms, this is really with a view to rolling out our 5-year action plan, which we'll be hearing a lot more about over these next 4 weeks. But I want to tell you right at the start, when people hear the word stewardship or giving, they always think it's about money. But I can tell you, this is something a lot bigger than money. It's about whose everything actually really is, understanding who owns everything that we have. And you know, once we get that sorted, then as we get into the series, everything else will be about how we give ourselves to God. It will make a lot more sense. So we're in Psalm 24 this morning, and this, let me set the scene a wee bit, the context is Psalm 24 is a Psalm of David. Most people studied it, reckon it was written for a very specific purpose, the day that the Ark of the Covenant was brought up into Jerusalem. You can read about that day back in 2 Samuel chapter 6. It was a great day. David was dancing, the whole city was out celebrating, and the Ark, the very symbol of God's presence, was finally coming home to the city that David had made his capital. It was a really, really big deal. And this psalm was probably written to be sung on that day, almost like a call and a response between the procession outside the gates and the priests or the guards standing inside. You can hear that when you read it, the shape of it. There's a shout from outside, there's a question from inside, and an answer given back. But here's the thing about this psalm that I want us to notice from the very start. Before David gets anywhere near the ark, and before anyone gets anywhere near Jerusalem, he starts somewhere else completely. He starts speaking about ownership. So verse 1 that George read for us this morning says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So David says that the earth is the Lord's, full stop. The earth is the Lord's. And then he tells us why in verse 2. He says, "For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." In other words, God owns the earth because God made the earth. God owns the earth because God made the earth. Lifted, so good to see you this morning. It is his by right of creation. So God didn't inherit the earth. He didn't buy it off somebody else. He spoke it, and it was. And so it belongs to him. And when David says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that includes you and me. It includes this building that we're sitting in right now. It includes your car, if you have one, Stuart. It includes your house, your cash, your kids, your time, your Sunday afternoons, your talents, your health, your retirement. Everything. There's not one bit of our life that David leaves off this list. You know, I love how the late R.C. Sproul used to put it. You know, I read a lot of R.C. Sproul. He said that the doctrine of God's ownership, it's not just a nice wee spiritual idea that we add on to our theology. It's actually one of the most basic and practical truths in all of the Bible, because it touches literally everything we do with our hands, our time, our money. It touches everything we do every single day of life. Sproul used to say that we all live as though we all have the power to govern ourselves, as though we belong to ourselves, as though our lives are our own to run. And that really is, right at the root of it, is the essence of sin. And you know, that's worth thinking about, because most of us, I think, if you asked us straight out, and Olivia gave us this answer today, do you believe that everything belongs to God? She said she would have been quite happy with all her things going along. A lot of us might say yes to that as well. We might say yes, we might nod along. I mean, that's kind of basic Christianity, I think, that to recognise that everything we have belongs to God. But then, if you watch how most people actually live, watch how tightly we hold on to our time. Watch how anxious we get about money. Watch how we talk about things like my house, my career, my plans, my life. And we start to realise that we can say the words, but it's not often the reality of how we are living. So David told us whose everything is. And then verses 3 to 6, they take a wee turn. It says in verse 3, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" That's the question, isn't it? If everything belongs to God, if he is really the owner of it all, and if his presence is what this whole psalm is building towards, then who gets to come near? Who's allowed in to the presence of God? And the answer David gives in verse 4, "The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." Now, if you are anything like me, that answer should actually worry you a wee bit. Clean hands, a pure heart, no idols. Idols is anything that replaces God or takes the place of God. Who does that describe, actually? I'll tell you something, it's definitely no describing me. My hands aren't always clean, not really. No, if we're talking about what I've done, what I've said, what I've thought about this week, never mind this month or this year or even in my whole life. And my heart is not pure. I know what goes on in here and in here. You know what goes on in there and in there for you. You've heard me saying before about the Frank Turek talks about this sign. This is a great analogy. I love it. You know, and if you got up this morning and you looked in the mirror, you were brushing your teeth, and there was a big, massive sign stuck to your head, and you couldn't get it off. And in that sign transmitted every thought that you ever have. Would you be sitting here today? I'd still be in the bathroom, I tell you that. And you know, that's the bit of this psalm that a lot of stewardship sermons think skip over, because they want to get to the practical stuff, the giving, the volunteering, the money. Because if the requirement for standing in God's presence and approaching the God who owns everything is clean hands and a pure heart, then none of us, absolutely none of us, will get anywhere near it. And that is exactly where the gospel has to come in. Or this psalm, it just falls and it leaves us there. Because here's the good news. And it's the only reason that any of us can say this psalm with any confidence at all. Because there was one man who did have clean hands. There was one man who did have a pure heart. Jesus Christ lived a life that none of us could live, with hands that never did wrong, and a heart that never once turned to an idol. And then Jesus on the cross, he took what our unclean hands and our impure heart actually deserved. That's what Paul the Apostle means in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. John Calvin, the reformer who I studied a lot of at university, John Calvin used to talk about this as a kind of great exchange. Our sin laid on Christ and his righteousness credited to us. I'll say that again. Our sin laid on Christ and his righteousness credited to us. So when this psalm asks, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? The only answer that any of us has this side of the cross is, I can, but only because someone else's hands and someone else's heart are being counted as mine. And that is the whole gospel right there in the middle of an Old Testament psalm about stewardship. And you know, that should change everything how we approach this series over the next 4 weeks. We are not going to spend 4 weeks trying to tell people to give so that God will then be finally pleased with you. That is not how it works. We're already accepted. We're already forgiven. We're already welcomed. And we're already loved so, so much. So everything we say from here on about stewardship is a response to that. Never a way of earning it. Please hear that. Never a way of earning anything from God. Then this psalm, it shifts one more time, verses 7 to 10. And this is where you can really hear the call and response. Verse 7 says, lift up your head, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, the King of glory, that the King of glory may come in. And then the question comes back from inside the gates, who is the King of glory? And the answer, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It happens twice, the command, the question, the answer. Two times, almost like David really wants to stress who is coming through those gates. And we know back in the day in Jerusalem, this was about the ark coming into the city. But you and I, we get to read this on the side of something even bigger. Because hundreds of years later, another king came through the gates of that same city. This time he was not carried on the shoulders of priests, but he rode in on a donkey. And the crowds, they were shouting, Hosanna. And then a week later, they crucified him. And 3 days after that, he walked out of a tomb. 40 days after that, he ascended. He went up through the very gates of heaven itself. The King of glory returning to his rightful place, having paid for the sins of everyone who would ever trust in him. So the earth is the Lord's, and the King of glory is coming in. Those two truths are at either end of this psalm, and they hold everything else together. The earth is the Lord's, and the King of glory is coming in. The Lord who owns it all is the same God who came near, who lived among us, who died for us, and who now reigns. So I wonder, what does this mean for us at Craig Hill Church on the first Sunday in September? I cannot believe that, the first Sunday in September 2026. Well, back down to Dundee, back down to this building, this church in September. If the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, then Craig Hill Church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It does not belong to our Kirk session or whatever generation of people who happen to be sitting in these seats at any given time. All of it is his. Is his. He owns this building. He owns this church's story. He owns the two legacy churches' stories that united to become Craig Hill Church. He owns all that we have ever done up to this point, and he owns whatever will come next in our story. And that should actually change what we think about the years ahead, because if this place belonged to us, if it really was ours, something we had built, earned, and were entitled to hold on to exactly as it's always been, then it would be our job to keep it as it is. Protect it. Don't change anything. But it's not ours, it's God's. And God has given it to this generation, for this generation, to prepare for whatever might come after us. That's a really beautiful thought. He's given it to this generation, for this generation, to prepare whatever might come after us. So we are stewards in a living, breathing work that God is definitely still doing. That's why over the next wee while you'll hear us talk more about our 5-year action plan. The plan that we hope is an honest attempt to say, Lord, what do you want us to do with what you have given to us? For the sake of those who will come through these doors in these times, but also in the times after we have gone. That's what stewardship actually is. At the bottom of it, it's all about recognising whose everything really is. Our time, our gifts, our home, our children, our friends, our years left on this earth, this church, all of it. And then asking what it looks like to hold it with more open hands, because it was never ours to begin with. And you know, that's not an always a comfortable way to live, and it's not always an easy message. Open hands always feels like more of a risk. You know, I've been to many churches, and I first experienced it way back when we got a legacy left. So someone in a church I was in, a person had died and left a lot of money to the church. Now the church didn't have a lot of people in it. So I just assumed that because we got all of this extra money, somehow then we would start discussing how this money would be spent in terms of mission. It wasn't restricted. The person had left it and we could spend it sort of however we would like. But I was really shocked when nothing was really spoken about this money. And I spoke to the minister and I says, when are the emails going to start going out about how we might spend this money that God clearly blessed us with, that we never had before? And the minister laughed and he said, there's not a chance that will be spent. And I thought he was joking, but he was deadly serious. And it was really sad. It was really sad. And I know I've had experience of speaking to a minister recently, a similar kind of story, who his church had a lot of money and they were talking about a rainy day or having these funds, reserves and all of this. Sadly, that church is closed now. That church is closed and it's now with another church. They had all this money and they never spent it. And in terms of mission, it was a great opportunity. So I just share that because that is some of my experience in terms of if we think it's ours, then we hold on to it. But if we think God has really blessed us with it, then we get to use it for his glory. And you know, when we hold something loosely, it's dangerous at times because somebody can then take it from us or we might have to give it away ourselves. But that is exactly what this psalm today is calling us to do. Grateful, trusting stewardship. The kind that says, Lord, you gave me this. It was always yours. So please now show me what you want me to do with it. That's a very different place from what the world would tell us, wouldn't it? The world says about our stuff in our lives, it says, get as much as you can, store it away for a rainy day. This psalm says, open your hands, because somebody else has been holding it all along. So here's what I want us to leave us with this morning. Two questions. Two questions, the same question. I think they're the same two questions that this psalm has been asking all along. Firstly, do we actually believe that everything is God's? Our time, this week ahead, our plans, our resources, our grip on our own lives. Is God really the owner of all of that? Or are we just letting him think he is while we try and hold on tight to everything that we have? And secondly, the next question is, have we got clean hands and a pure heart? And if the honest answer is no, as I said earlier, it's definitely a no from me, then have we gone to the place that these hands and this heart can be made clean? Have we really gone to the only place that these hands and this heart can be made clean? Through Christ, who lived the clean life that we could never live, and who died the death that our unclean hands deserved, and who now offers us righteousness as a gift if we will just trust him for it. So the earth is the Lord's. Craig Owl Church is the Lord's. You are the Lord's. I am the Lord's. And the King of Glory, well, he is. He has already come in. Amen. Let's again pray together. Lord, we thank you that the King of Glory has already come in, because Christ did what none of us could do. For those of us who might have been holding on too tight, would you loosen our grip? Lord, for those of us who are tired, would you remind us that we are stewards and the weight was never meant to be carried alone? So, Father, would you go with us into this week and help us to live like we believe it's all yours. In the loving name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Just before we sing our next hymn, I think I saw Eddie.